It's been one of those weeks, and it's only Monday.
Oh well, yeah. I was on the phone with some friends, and I said, "Hey, what happened on Monday?" And then they're like, "You mean today?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I guess it is still Monday. It felt like it should be Tuesday for some reason. That's not a good sign."
Nope.
I would like for it to be Friday again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this was not a good day for me either.
You're entering your last week though of chemo, aren't you?
No, I've got one more week of this, but some of the side effects of the medicines are kind of kicking in, and it's made my day very uncomfortable. So, I'll get by. Just gotta work through it.
I ain't lying. I went the whole sweet route, nut or butter with milk. That's what I'm having about.
No drink. No nut butters look kind of like peanuts. What? That's.
I know,
that's
they're not. I. You know what? They're not the long ones. I didn't even know they made the cookie top nut or butters, but they do.
Oh, there you go.
I thought, you know what? They look smaller, so maybe it doesn't mean I'm eating as many or it doesn't seem as bad. But when you eat the whole thing by yourself, it's still as bad, I figured out.
Hey, you know what I found at the grocery store the other day? It was it's made by HEB, but it's a root beer float cookie. It's kind of like an Oreo with a cream center.
Wow.
Oh, okay. My God. Oh, my God.
So, good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I have to be careful. Or I'll put it on my pants and go, "Oh my God, what happened?"
Yeah, I'm nearly out of my my Thin Mints. I'm going to have to hit up my dealer here soon.
Exactly.
That's another one of those, Deborah, like you were saying, they're deceptively small. So,
yes.
You know, you think, I'm going to have a couple. The next thing you know, you've eaten an entire sleeve.
Yes.
When you're already sitting there thinking, why not go for the other one as well? While we're
And then you get to a point where it's like, let's just get rid of them so that I don't have them around anymore.
Exactly. Then you have to get them out of the house.
That's exactly right. That's where I'm at right now.
Thank you.
Okay. I pulled in a radiation. There's a truck parked next to mine. It's got a TC alumni sticker on and a couple of TC decals. So I said, okay, I can't let this one go unnoticed. So got to reward him. So I had a Killer Frogs koozie in my car and an old lanyard they give you when you get your press. So I wrapped it around the koozie, hung it on his mirror and stuck a note in there and said, "Go Frogs. Check us out on killerfrogs.com. Awesome. So, you know, when he comes out to his car, he's going to see that.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I need to start keeping stuff like that in my car and do that anytime we see stickers and stuff. That's neat.
Yeah, you never, I mean, down here in the belly of the UT beast, I don't see many TCU things. So I said, I got to reward this guy. So
that's cool. Very cool.
All right.
Well, we ready?
I think we're good. Yeah, Wes, you got that feed turned down, right?
Yep. It's off. Right,
well,
oh, you look good. You got a good looking head, Wes.
You do.
Yeah. When my white hair comes back out, I'm gonna look like a Q-tip, but that's okay.
I kind of have like this stepped kind of look to my head, and it's like those villages in Asia where they're like growing. You know, multi-tier, I don't know what they call them.
Rice paddies.
Well, yeah, well, I know that one, but I don't know what the actual name is for that sculpted kind of tiered kind of system. But that's what my head looks like, which is why I prefer hats, but it's okay. All right.
What's the difference between a hat and a cap? Do you know the difference?
I have no idea. They both cover your hair.
Cap has a bill. Cap has a bill. Hat has a brim. There you go. Oh. You just learned something.
There we go. Well, next time somebody asks me that in the bar for a bet, then and we're speaking about betting tonight, I'll make sure I win.
You'll win the beer.
There you go. All right. Well, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 94. We're approaching that all-amazing number 100. And this is episode 4. Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. And on tonight's episode, we've got Killer Frog Emeritus Wes Phelan. Hey, Wes.
Sean, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. So you were saying earlier, how many more weeks do you have of chemo?
Can't chemo the rest of my life.
Radiation.
Yeah, radiation. One more week after this one. I'll finish up my 6 week, a week from Friday. Hopefully they let me ring the bell then, but we'll see. And then I'm taking chemotherapy every night. And then when I get through with radiation, then I'll put me on a maintenance dose for, I think, 1 week a month. So it won't be bad. The big thing for me right now is getting me off these steroids because they're causing me a lot of sleep problems. And so it's not been fun.
Steroids, have you turned green at all?
Yeah, steroid. Of course, my muscles are just gigantic now because of it. And then I tripped the other day. I don't know if you can see that strawberry. I was trying to hang a rack to hold up mops and brooms and things like that. One of the mops fell and I tripped over it and went down. Oh yeah, it's just been a blast. been a blast.
Well, when you're undergoing those kind of treatments, your white cells are really low, so that you got to watch that, man. That bruising is bad, but
it's terrible. Anyway, I'm standing upright and taking fluid, so I'm good.
That's great news.
And here's a fluid right here.
That's fantastic. Cheers. We also have WC Nicks on. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Pretty good. So how many Nutter Butters have you gone through tonight?
I lost count.
Oh, man.
You know, they're just small. They're so little that they just kind of pop in and go away real quick. But they've been very good. Very good.
And bite-sized
Nutter Butters. Maybe I'll bring up some of those root beer float cookies I was talking about.
Hey, I'll try it. I'm looking for a different sweet anyway, because, you know, it's the craziest thing. When I had my niece replacement about 3 years ago, chocolate was a staple for me.
Yeah.
And it changed my taste buds.
Aww.
I do not like chocolate anymore.
So oh, God, what's wrong with you? What's wrong?
I know.
Trying to put me out of work?
I know, vanilla ice cream and chocolate. I mean, I kept people in business with chocolate. Now, I don't know why.
Now it's Nutter Butters.
I'm bringing you some chocolate tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's dark chocolate. I hope you like it. It's very rare. And I'll share it with you.
Okay.
You're the only one I'm going to share it with because I don't have enough to go around for everybody. But
all right.
I'm going to bring Deborah a square of it.
All right, right. I'll try it. That's for sure.
You got it, my friend.
But me and my Nutter Butters are doing good.
Good.
That's great. We also have the boss, Ryan Zeller, on tonight. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, even though I thought it was already Tuesday and it's really still Monday evening.
It's got a Tuesday feel, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so you know, the bright side is it's almost over.
That's
true. Yeah. So, well, we've got a bit of a truncated show tonight, and let's just start off. We got a couple things to talk about. We've got baseball's been on a roll, tennis in the NCAAs right now. We had a couple of records broken in track, but the big breaking news right before we went on was the Supreme Court has overturned the federal ban on sports gambling.
Way to go, New Jersey.
Yeah, I didn't realize New Jersey was the one who brought the suit.
I know.
Yeah, so I guess Chris Christie has done something good. Do you guys agree with this? Do you think this is a good idea, a bad idea? What do you think?
Do it illegally, so yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I heard he celebrated and went out and bought an entire bakery out and ate everything he bought. So.
We're trying to stay away from politics here, and then we have to go and
do that.
That was food. That wasn't politics. That was food.
You're true.
He's a rather portly man, but that's all.
You know, if you said something along the lines of he stopped traffic on a bridge while he was on his way to a bakery to eat it out, then I guess that would have been
Yeah, he did that too.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing's going to be is how long it takes Texas to, because I mean, basically, leave it up to the states now, correct?
Yeah, I would think so.
Right, it
overturned the federal ban, but I think on a state-by-state
basis. So, I mean, that's what I think. It's on a state-by-state basis now.
Yeah.
So write your Congress, state congressmen, state senators, whoever is in charge of telling the governor what we want.
Is that going to open up casino gambling in Texas, you think?
No, it's just sports gambling. I think casino gambling is still heavily regulated.
Yeah, but will one open up the other? I don't know.
I think it'll be the beginning of that.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I just think, see how long everybody getting excited, but it's going to be interesting to see how long they change the laws in Texas. Cause I have a feeling Texas is going to be one that drags their feet.
Could be. You're probably right, Doug.
I don't know. I don't know if I am or not. I just, you know, I mean, of course, you know, it also brings in money. Texas likes money.
Yeah. I mean, remember a few years ago, there's talk about why are we letting Oklahoma and Louisiana have all that money going across our borders over there, and we should be keeping it here. And I thought at that time there was going to be a movement to legalize casino gambling, but it never came about. So
yeah. there was a little bit of a push, especially when Perry was in.
I will say, with all the stuff going on in Arlington, Texas right now, where I live, and Sean, you too, you may have heard of this as well.
There's so much stuff going on in this city. What exactly are you referring to?
Well, the talks with MGM, the hotel, apparently, I don't know how many years ago this is, so someone's going to like Google this and then slam me in 3 days and I'm wrong. But anyway, aside from that, I will say I don't know much about it other than Mike works for the city of Arlington. And apparently Arlington was talking with MGM Studio, not studios, MGM Grand, the hotel, and coming and opening up a huge hotel in this area because of all the great things that are going on. And that was there was talk of Texas being in the last stages of possibly legalizing casinos. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it would be kind of cool, I guess.
Oh, by the way, I want to say hello to my wife's Uncle Graham and Aunt Corinne, who are watching live from Australia and some of our regular fans every week on the Killer Frogs Hour. Graham and Corinne, thanks for watching in. Your Killer Frogs and TCU swag will be on the way soon.
Yeah. What time is it in Australia? Well, that part of Australia.
They're in Melbourne or right side of Melbourne. Let's see what time it is there. He texted me the other night. He said, I've enjoyed watching your show. I said, it's wow. Okay, cool. 11:51 in the morning.
So, they're in the future.
They're in the future.
They're having lunch.
It's already
maybe
Wednesday.
They can get us the scores of tonight's games.
Exactly.
Hey, call your bookie.
I'll throw out a little fun fact. I did write a real quick article today to put on Frogs Wire about the sports betting. It said, according to the study by American Sports Betting Coalition, it has been estimated that legalized sports betting in Texas will generate approximately $1.7 billion in revenue and create 9,300 jobs.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah. How much?
7 billion.
$1.7 billion. That's probably just Aggies betting on A&M football. Right now.
Of course, they don't do the study on how much, you know, more abuse of alcohol there'll be with all of this gambling and divorces and legal fees and that too. But
we're gonna make Texas great again.
And broke people.
Well, what do y'all think? Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think the Supreme Court's right? Do you think that you know, sports gambling is something that we should be having, or do you think that the Supreme Court got this wrong?
I think the Supreme Court's right in the sense that they leave it up to the states.
Yes,
I agree.
Now that's where I start off with, right there. I believe that they should leave it up to the states. Mm-hmm. Well, now the other part of it, I mean, I go back and forth, tell you the honest truth.
What are the negatives?
So it just depends on which week you win and which week you lose.
Yeah, that's the deal.
I mean, why is it any different than like the lottery, playing the lottery?
Well, that's a good point.
I agree with you.
Well, the thing is, I like to keep my money, but
if you're a sports bettor, you're going to do it no matter whether it's legal here or not. You're going to do it wherever it's legal. And why let that money escape? They're going to find a way to tax it or monetize it in some way and keep some of it here. So I think in that regard, it's a good, as long as they put that money to good use, put it in the school fund or help, God forbid, help us lower our
property taxes.
Property taxes. I'm just saying, that'd be great. That'd be great. I'm all for it.
Well, don't go crazy. They're not going to lower our
property taxes. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, what was I thinking? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about property taxes. Between income tax and property tax, the last month has been rather rough. So we won't go into that. All right. So Dubber's on the side. It sounds like everyone's good on the 10th Amendment aspect of this ruling, but
I can take it or leave it. I mean, really, truly, I don't gamble that much. I've had people in my family that gamble, and they weren't very good at it.
Your brother came back from Las Vegas one day, and he called me up and said, "I won $5,000." I said, "Cool. Don't tell anybody." "Okay, who am I going to tell?" He said, "Well, don't tell Kelly. I'm surprising him by buying new toilets for the house." And you know what I'm talking about, Dubber? Those electric things.
With the bidet.
He was so proud of
like the ones they have in Japan, like the robotic ones.
The little air jets and the scented puff that goes, you know.
What's the story about having to install those? Isn't there a story about that?
Well, they have to be wired in, that's for sure.
Well, as far as my mom, I'm the one that does it. They buy it, I install it. That's the way it always goes with my two brothers.
Oh, my God.
One grabs a hurt back, and the other one said he was mechanically, electrically, nothing, not inclined. Manual labor. I mean, any of that.
Let me guess who that was. It's so funny. I'm gonna buy toilets. Really, toilets?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gotta see these things.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's right.
Oh my gosh,
that was Scotty, no doubt.
Well, all right. Well, I guess we're all for, or at least we're have a positive spin on this whole sports gambling. Yeah. That's good. One thing for sure, we're all gonna have to end up learning the terminology now, because I know that's a whole nother world.
Well, and here's the other deal. If Texas allows it, I was telling Mike, I said, don't bet on TCU because Coach P doesn't care. He couldn't care less about the spread, you know? And he goes, I'll just bet against him. Because how many times have we been in a game, not because we've gambled on, just for ESPN reasons, been all he had to do was kick a field goal and beat the spread, and he won't do it. Kills us. So
he cares less about the spread.
Go after a greedy coach on that behalf.
Have you ever watched these gambling shows or Texas Hold'em shows on ESPN and all these guys that are on there? This is a whole different culture because half of them are sitting there inside a room wearing their sunglasses, you know, so you can't follow their trend. And it's just bizarre. I get a kick out.
That's a different kind of gambling. That's –
Yeah, I know. That's real
good. I guess the thing is, just wrapping my mind around too, is how I've just listened to it today and listening to people talk about it, is they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. We can go to a Mavericks game and go in there and pay a ticket and go up to a kiosk and place their bet. You know, and that, so, I mean, it's going to definitely make it interesting.
Yeah, it's going to change the face of things.
It will change the face of things. You're exactly right.
You can set up a kiosk at Eamon Carter and maybe take some bets there on the Texas TCU game.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if everybody pushes toward it if you get a little kick out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, TCU can make a buck off it. Don't do it. So.
I mean, yeah, exactly right.
Well, you know, first beer. Now gambling.
Oh, we're just going to hell in a handbasket here.
I tell you. How long do you think it's going to take before beer makes it to football?
A couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years.
The baseball is a trial program.
Yeah, I think they're going to use it as a trial.
You know, the thing about the beer deal is I don't think everybody's going to love it as much as they think they will because of the simple fact that we have so many people that like to leave at halftime and walk back out to the parking lot and drink beer.
Yeah.
I mean, and party or whatever. I mean, I'm not, you know, whatever they do. I mean, and hey, I do it sometimes too. I walk back out and I always come back in, but I know a lot of people that go out and they never come back in. well, that's done. If you go out, you're not getting back in. And a lot of them won't care, but there'll be a group that, you know.
I think we were just talking about that too. I think if when they do that, they're going to have to make some adjustments in the stadium. There's all that open space in the concourse, and they're going to have to do some lounge areas so people can get in, out from the sun and take a break and actually sit and kind of relax. And I can see TCU doing something like that, but it's just so dang hot. People cannot, they need a break.
Didn't they have kind of a patio planned in the north end zone, maybe near the scoreboard, where they put up some covers or shades, something? And that seemed to me like it'd be a great place, to like a party deck to hang out, drink a beer, and watch a game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I'm not keen on paying $8 or $10 for a small beer, you know, which I'm sure what they're charging. What do they charge the baseball games?
Is it $7? Seven. It's $7.
And what is a 12 ounce?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a full bottle. Yeah.
12 ounce, $7. Woo.
But you get to keep your purple plasticware. The pretty nice cups, actually.
Wow. Well, that's nice.
A plastic $7. I hope so. Hope you get to keep that 50-cent cup.
I have had a beer at every game since they started serving it, and it's nice. You know, there's not really a difference in the stadium at all in the ballpark, but
let me tell you, Ryan's always, she's that little girl that wanted to rebel. She's like, oh, yeah, I get to drink me a beer now.
I'm so excited. My Michelob Ultra. But they actually have, like, IPAs. They have some good beer there, but I just like my Michelob Ultras.
Well, we ought to form a beer committee and advise them on what kind of beer to have, because this light beer just got to go.
No. They have IPAs. They've got a pretty good selection for being so new. So they put our beer out there. Good stuff.
Well, I nominate Sean to be the head of the beer committee.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't have to twist my arm. I'll be more than happy to taste test every entry.
There you go.
Yes. So what type of IPA do they have, Ryan? Did you remember?
Oh gosh, I don't know. They've got like two or three, and then they've got like the Texas Blue Bonnet, which I don't know. I'm just remembering what the cans are. They're real pretty, and they've got some RAR. Of course, they have your normal Coors Light and Miller Light.
Well, beer's always better in a pretty can.
It is. I think so. Same as wine, of course.
Wine in the can's pretty.
The packaging does count.
So do they have anybody walking through the stands now selling beer, or is it just like you got to get up there? And
yeah, but every single concession stand has it. It's not limited on that. Oh, okay. And they actually have beer stands set up. It's just beer. So it's not difficult to get beer. So.
Well, it's good to hear that they've at least got the local guys like RAR in there.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good foresight, because
you can get RAR down here. That's a good thing too.
Yeah, because if all it was Bud Light, Miller Light, or Blue Moon, if that's all that they served, it would have been a bad move, because
that ain't
so
beer.
Many good local guys. Well, yeah, at least most of what I just said isn't beer. But yeah, I mean that. Yeah, when you have such great local brewers here, especially one with such a huge connection to TCU,
you gotta have him.
Yeah. And they do, so they're doing a good job.
By the way, we need Fritz Rohr on the show sometime.
Yeah. We'll do that as we get closer to the season.
Now, he needs to be the second founding member of the beer committee.
Okay.
Yeah. he has a bit more experience than I do when it comes
to... Yeah, well, that kind of runs in his blood, doesn't it?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So tennis, where are we standing on tennis now? We are in the...
So we are now in round three of the NCAA championship, right? I guess, yeah, round three. So the first round was against Utah State, number 50 Utah State. We won 4-1, and then we went up against Oregon, and I think Oregon was in top 30, and we beat them 4-0. And now we're going up against number 9 Illinois on Friday. I think they're number 9. Number 9.
Have we played them once before?
We did actually. But we lost.
Okay.
So. And we lost two of our best tennis players too. I don't know their names, but the two best ones on the team. Mark Cohen was telling me that. So
Rybakov or?
What
was Alex Rybakov or Rybakov? Is he gone or?
I wouldn't know if you said his name. I took a picture. I went out there and watched them, the doubles and singles this weekend. It's really, really good. And when we did really, really well, you would not have known, at least me, the novice, would not have known that we were missing our two best players. The other guys really stepped it up. But I was talking to Mark Cohen, and he said they're struggling a little bit because their two best players were out. But evidently, you know, it was.
Are they out for good now, or is it?
Yeah, it was a season ending.
That's not good.
So, I don't know. I mean, I have the whole team right. Which ones are injured? But it was full. It was beautiful weather. You know, when you're out there, it was a little hot this weekend, but it's mostly in the shade out there. And the crowd was really good. It was a full, the bleachers were full. And of course they still did the free pizza and free popcorn, which is nice. They didn't have the food truck or the
open bar
this time, but that was okay. And then the baseball game was going on right at the same time. So it was, you could hear cheering. It was like surround sound because baseball team was doing well. It was pretty cool. And it, you know, it's always so neat. I saw Reagan, women's basketball coach Reagan Peebly out there with her husband and watching tennis, said hi to her. And they were doing the same thing, going to watch tennis. And then when it was over, walk over to the baseball game. So it's just nice to see. I'm sure there were more coaches out there I didn't actually walk through to see, but it's nice to see. See Mark Cohen out there, Ross Bailey, you know, everybody out there, especially a Mother's Day weekend. So,
sure.
Always nice.
So, where does the tennis team play?
The next.
Do we know?
Yeah, actually. Let's see. I had that at one point in time. Let me get their schedule up. The next round of the NCAA is going to be in North Carolina.
Okay,
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So it's.
I didn't know if they came back here again, or you know, by the rankings, or if they went somewhere else finally.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but Illinois, that was the last team we lost to before we went on that big old tear.
To end
the season, and we dropped the very last one against Baylor, but really didn't matter at that point. We were already in the tournament, so. Yeah. Yeah, Illinois is one of those things. It'd be nice to get over that hump. I think that would really give this team good momentum going into the last round or the second to last round. I can't remember exactly where we are in the bracket, but yeah. So they're doing really, really well.
Yeah, they always do, and he's done such a great job. I keep saying this every week, but you know, the days of Tut Bartson are back, and he's an old Tut Bartson disciple, and has done a great job with that team. And we're going to win it one of these days. We just have to. I think he's a guy to do it. Speaking of North Carolina, you mentioned that a moment ago. The Evan Scad fan club will be showing up at Kannapolis, North Carolina this Friday to cheer on Evan Scad and Nolan Brown as the Intimidators play whoever they're playing.
Hey, so, say that
my
again.
My daughter, her husband, and my daughter's in-laws are going. They're all decked out in purple. They're going to go see the two TCU guys play. And hopefully Evan can give them a couple of minutes to say hi to them. But I think it'll be kind of neat to have them all there. I taught them how to do the frog sign. So they're going to be there and say, hey, Evan, and throw the frog at him and see what happens.
Yeah, I missed it. Did he actually tweet out the picture of that Yoda jersey?
I missed it too. He should have.
He did. He did. Somebody just sent me the link. Yeah, actually, he's not wearing it, but he did post a picture.
Oh, he held it up. That's what he did. Yeah,
man, it is just, and it's like sad Yoda too. They like put a picture of like Yoda frowning. Like Yoda's pointed at
you. Yoda.
So and then they chose like that Baylor neon green color for the numbers. So it's a little gaudy, but. I'm sure Evan had a great time.
Yeah, that's all that counts.
That is all that matters. Speaking of other things that have been going on, track won, championship in 4x400 and I think triple jump.
Wow.
So, yeah, another good showing by the Frogs. So, I mean, you've got baseball's red hot right now. We'll talk about them in a minute.
Throwers had a good weekend.
Yeah. Tennis, which we just finished talking about. So, I mean, it's great. You know, it's embarrassment of riches, but, you know, go Frogs, man, because they're tearing it up. It's good to see all the teams kind of doing really well this deep in the season.
Yep, yeah. wrapping up the year pretty well.
Our track team finished fifth overall, but we did win the Big 12 title in the mile relay, and then I think in the long jump too, didn't we? It's Scotty Newton or broad jump or what do they call it now?
I think it's triple jump.
Triple jump. Yeah. You know, not bad. And one thing that's really interesting because, you know, Dubber, when you were in school and I was in school and Sean, maybe you as well, you know, we were just a sprint and mid-distance team. That's all we were good at it.
Yeah.
But they didn't have guys throwing the shot put or the hammer or javelin or anything. Now we've got a complete track team with long jump, triple jump, hot pole vault. It's gone full circle now, and we've got the – we've got enough guys that are get points in there to get, you know, to get you a championship. And so, or get you closer to the championship. So,
as we were talking, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, we've always had a couple of sporadic shot put kind of people that will kind of individually compete very, very well. But for the most part, you know, the Flying Frogs were pretty much how we were known for a very long time. So it's good to see a complete track and field effort at TCU. So that's been really good.
And to see them throw that 16-pound shot, pick up a 16-pound shot put and try to throw it sometime. That ain't easy.
I'm gonna complain like Dubber's brother. I got a bad back.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I remember when I tried to throw that thing in high school, and that's one reason I hurt my elbow showing off in front of a girl. Tried to snap off a curve with an 8-pound shot put. It doesn't work.
No.
What snaps is all the cartilage in your elbow.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That was ugly.
Yeah, that would have been.
That was surgery number one. So anyway, that's and that was not the first stupid thing I did, but one of many. But anyway, never again.
Never again. All right. Well, let's move on and let's talk about baseball because we've been doing well. Our win streak did get snapped last week, but bounced right back right after that. Yeah. How do you guys feel about baseball?
You know what? I hope they're coming together at the right time here. This is going to be a big series this weekend against Texas. And I'm excited because I get to go. I get to see my Frogs play. I'm pumped up about
Wes, that. I don't know. Last time you went, we got killed by Baylor.
Yeah, well, I can't stay away.
Okay.
Crystal Conti has graciously given me tickets and a parking pass. So
that's right. That's right.
If somebody wants to join me, I think I have a suite.
Good. That would be so fun.
Yeah, it will be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Y'all, you know, we lost Baker first and then Janzik.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Feltman. And then this weekend it seems that we've lost AJ Balta. So we're down another player.
He'll be back.
You know?
Yeah. Wasn't his just the blister?
No.
Okay.
On his
talking about AJ.
Well, who are we talking about? Feltman?
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher?
Yeah. I think he was talking about Feltman.
Yeah, I thought that's who you said. Did you say Balta or Feltman?
Yeah, he also ended with AJ, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
I don't think AJ's is just a blister.
No. I was like, he's kind of wimpy.
AJ's hurt, you know.
Mm. Yeah. So we don't have any hitters left. Was it – who went in for him as a designated hitter?
Harris? Was it Harris or somebody like that?
It wasn't. Hold on. Now it wasn't. Shoot.
I wasn't there.
Oh, Colton Parrish? That's who it was, right?
Okay.
Colton Parrish, which, I mean, I think his batting average, probably because he hasn't.
Well, his batting average was 188 over the season.
Not so good.
32 at bats and 10 hits or 6 hits.
So,
right now, our team batting average is 265, which all in all isn't terrible, but it's.
Well, but it took a nosedive early on in the season.
It did.
Let me tell you, there were several of them that were terrible at the first of the season.
Yeah.
We still have a few that are under 225.
Well, let me tell you, we're just not going to be a great hitting team. Schlossnagel said it and said it. I think he believes it. I do too. Score runs, we're going to have to do it a lot of ways, whether it's by the walk, whether it's by the steal, whether it's by bunting to get them around. We just got to be creative.
That's right. You're exactly right. You got to create your opportunities and create your runs and manufacture them any way you can.
And we did that this weekend. We did some good stuff. It was also senior day on Sunday. So we're graduating this year only three, which is very good since we graduated so many last year. But Michael Landis Story, Connor Wanhanen, and then AJ Balta. So
Balta's a graduate, isn't he?
He's the transfer from Oregon.
Oh, he's a good player. I like him. I tell you, the guy I really like this year is really come on as Michael Landestoy.
Yep.
I just through the years I've watched him, and he struggled his first year. He got a little bit better in the second and third. Now his senior year, he's batting .316. That's not bad. A couple of home runs. What do we got? RBIs. He's got 33 RBIs, not bad, but he's making contact and he's moving players around, and that's a great thing. And that first year I saw him, I thought, God, man, this guy,
work in progress.
But you know what? He's a good kid. He's got a good attitude. Of course, his dad played for the Rangers and in Major League Ball, so he's got it in his genes. He's an excellent first baseman. So he's really come around good. Josh Watson's hitting .320. I'd like to see him break the 10 home run mark, because remember, Evan Skadlak last year hit 20 home runs. We got to try and find a way to place that. That's tough to do. And with Baker down, it may not happen this year, but
injuries that are happening, these guys are still finding a way to manufacture runs and get wins. They've won 10 of the last 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like you said, to start off this discussion, Wes, hopefully they're coming together just at the right time, because you've got Stephen F. Austin coming up on the road, and then you got the 3-game series against Texas right before the Big 12 tournament.
So my question is, and I don't know enough about it, are they going to have to win the Big 12 tournament to get in?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, I heard this weekend, I was again talking to Mark Cohen, and he said if they can win the series, we won the series this weekend, it was a must win last weekend, and if we can win the series against UT, we'll be well over 500, and we should make it without having to win the Big 12 tournament.
That's if we get in, it's going to be on our resume rather than this current performance that we had this season.
They trended up.
I'll take it.
Down, and now they've been trending back up again. Well, it's just like basketball. You saw some teams, you were like, wow, why'd that team get in?
Yeah.
I think it had to do a little bit with past reputation, but they were trending at the right time also.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I kind of compare this a bit to how West Virginia was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we won the Big 12 championship against them in the final. And, to be honest with you, I think everybody thought West Virginia had done enough on their resume to make it in. Mm-hmm. And they were left on the bubble and they were left out. Yeah. I think that TCU is kind of that similar team. Now, if we do win the series against Texas and have a decent showing in the Big 12 championship, I think we've done enough to be able to get in. But I think that, it's going to be tight. We are definitely on that bubble.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. I don't understand the baseball part of it as far as all that enough to
RPI.
I know our RPI tanked because, we started losing the teams that we lost some good teams, but it started going south quick, boy. And I don't know how much it takes to get the RPI back up after it went the tank.
Yeah, that's
That series against Tech helped.
Yeah.
And that seemed to kickstart this team. And that's what kind of led us on that, 8-game win streak.
Well, So we've won, and so how much have we bumped back up in RPI? I have no idea.
I haven't checked. There are so many different ranking systems, though, in college baseball. It's not just one specific system. So it really just depends. And again, the committee's going to take whomever they want.
Yeah.
But, that's why I think that if TCU does enough, definitely. And I agree with Ryan said with relaying what Mark Cohen related to her. If TCU does win the series against Texas, that's huge. Get into the Big 12 tournament. Don't go out in the first round. Get at least part of the way into the tournament. If not, if you can win the whole thing, great. It's a moot point. But if we can go a couple rounds into the tournament, great. I think at that point in time, the committee is going to see enough and go, it's TCU. I mean, yeah, you know, they've been to Omaha and they've lost to the last two champion, you know, the last two tournament winners in Omaha the last 2 years. So let's give them a shot in a regional that's not at TCU this time, and let's see what happens.
Yeah. So, and the other good thing too is I think we're right now we're in the best stretch of the season with, I think we're 10-2 the last 3 weeks. So like you said, we're finishing strong. We finished, win 2 out of 3 this weekend. That will mean, and of course we have to win Tuesday night.
Yeah. You have to win against Stephen F. Austin. This is,
yeah,
that's a must win game going into
that
good
series. That's the thing. That's not a,
no, it's not a gimme. Yeah. I mean, this team has had, it's so weird. This team has had really bad games against really bad teams,
yeah,
and really good games against really good teams. So I don't know if it's just a matter of playing up to potential, but I think the last 3 weeks, like I said, Ryan, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's one of those teams that rises to the level of competition. I think they are, I think they are hitting their stride at the right time. So I'm predicting we come away with victory against Stephen F. Austin, and I think we take 2 of 3 from the Longhorns.
That was a good
maturity thing, I think. I mean, you know, the biggest thing for me is they're maturing a little bit. That's why you get they play down to a team and then they turn around and play up to a team, because, you know, as a young team, you look at a, whether it's Abilene Christian, you know, are you getting ready for Tech or Abilene Christian? I hate to say it like that, but you need to win both of them. But and in young minds, they're not looking at Abilene Christian; they're looking at Tech. You know,
Do you think they read the press clippings a little bit before the season and went in a little cocky?
Oh yeah, how can you not? I mean, we built a program here, but see what some of these young players didn't understand was we've had some veterans around here for a long time that just kind of filtered in, filtered out, and this is the first time we've come into the season quite like we came in. As young as we did in some key spots, and then, you know, like I said, we've had some key injuries, and I just think they had to mature and grow up, and I think they are. I think that's what you're kind of seeing, and I think that's why he was probably so disappointed on Friday when they kind of – he felt like they came out a little sluggish, and they fought back at the end of the game, but they – you know, I think that was the first game in a while that they didn't take that, you know, we got to get on it right off the bat, you know.
Right.
And it's a learning deal for them.
Here's a little RPI reality check for you. Right now, we're currently ranked 63rd. We've moved up from 65. That was our previous ranking last week. Ahead of us in the conference, and it just pains me to say this, Baylor at 51. And then we've got Texas at 21. That's kind of surprising, but Texas Tech's at 9. So we've got, you know, we've got some room we can move up if we can do it.
If we win the series against Texas, that's a jump. I mean, that's a jump.
Oh, that's a huge jump. Yeah.
RPI, you know, but I don't understand, because I know when we started losing, boy, we went the other way fast.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly right.
So anyway, you know what? Keep winning. I just hope they get in. I love it. I love it. They get the experience and stuff like that. I'm not expecting a World Series trip. If they do, I mean, that's great. But
just getting into the postseason at this point would be a huge win.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a gigantic step forward. And
just getting a taste of it.
Yep. Because remember, Schlossnagel said coming into this season, we have as many return new players as we do returning players. He'd never encountered that situation.
Yep.
You're placing 6 or maybe 7 starters out there. You know, most of them Connor Shepard's, I guess he's a JUCO transfer. Kobe Boulware is a freshman. Oviedo is a freshman. Reiser, I guess, is a JUCO guy. Juan Holland is out right field. So we've got a bunch of guys out there you know, we haven't had before in those positions. And I guess it was inevitable a little bit of a dip would happen until those guys mature. It looks like finally they're starting to mature. I think I wasn't able to see the game Friday or the weekend, but I understand Connor Shepherd had an outstanding game in the field. And
Oh my gosh. Yes. It was Sunday's game where he caught the hit on third. They have it on Twitter and he's like slow motion where he just jumps and catches the ball. He must have jumped 5 feet in the air to catch it. It was a beautiful moment. It was wonderful.
But, hey, Ryan, speaking of beautiful moments, you texted me something that Coach Schlossnagel got sideways. At one point in time during the game against West Virginia, what was going on?
It was towards the end of the game, and I did not see the exact moment where he ran out of the dugout, what made him so angry, but it was obviously the way the ump was calling the pitches. And Schlosh is always, you know, very calm, diplomatic most of the time, almost all the time. I can't even remember any time I've seen him just go crazy. And he was fired up, and he was just – out there, it was like the replays they do on ESPN where the coaches are all up in the ump's face, you know, like yelling at him, and his arms are flailing, and he's like, he's got his hand going where it's almost like popping him off the ground that he's, you know, he's yelling. And then of course, what that did was just got the fans just fired up. I mean, the Woo Birds came out. It was like a totally different game. We were losing at the time, and we came back and won. Wait.
No, that was the game we dropped.
That was Saturday. I'm so sorry. That was Friday night, not Sunday night. I get my days confused. That was Friday night. We came back and almost won. We only ended up losing by one run, unfortunately. But yeah, that was Friday night. He got so fired up, and it was funny because of course you love that. I don't know why we all love that, but it's great to see. And the fans are behind him. And we're all fired up, and of course the players and the dugout are going crazy too. And we made that awesome comeback. And I was texting Sean I was trying to find like a replay of Coach doing that, cause I didn't catch it on video. And I wanted to like make him into a meme where he's just out there yelling at the ump going, "I'm not really mad at anything. I'm just trying to get the fans all fired up and my players fired up so that we can win, but I'm not mad. So don't throw me out, but I want you to act like you're about to throw me out," because, you know, funny.
It's funny. I've only seen him do that one time. He saves it for the right time.
Yep.
And he's pretty calm and collected, as you said. But boy, there are times he comes out of the dugout, and he is just. If you remember Billy Martin, I know you do, Dubber. And that guy was all over umpires, and he becomes he morphs into Billy Martin, and just gives that umpire hell. And it's just, the fans always go crazy when he does it. Yeah. I wish he'd do it more, but that's just not his style. But he saves it for the right time.
He's no Valentine, that's for sure.
Oh, well, the best thing I've ever seen him do, I think, just the funniest thing, was when the umpire, I think last year during the playoffs, baseball playoffs, the other team started griping about where our circle was.
Yes.
And, I mean, and the kids were out of the circle. That's what it was. And so the umpire got animated about it, and it hacked him off. And he got a little bit animated, but then he just walks over there, and he just grabs the circle and drags it over where the players were. And I mean, you want to talk about hacking off the umpire then. I mean, he's like, "That's fine. They're out of the circle, right? Yeah, I don't want them in the circle. I want them in the circle. Okay." He grabs and drags it about 2 or 3 feet and lays it back down right where the players were. And I thought that was one of the best things I've ever seen him do.
Well, I've seen him in a regional a couple of years ago. You know, I guess there's a rule. You know, some players wear that sleeve.
Yeah.
Just to keep their arm wear. Well, apparently a pitcher's not allowed to wear that. And that was the case a couple of years ago, but.
No, you're not, because you can hide things in the sleeve to affect the pitch.
Okay. Even though it's skin tight, I guess you could put a nail file in there or a tube of KY jelly or something.
Yeah, as a former catcher, let me tell you, there's a lot of different ways players can hide stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, that never happens. Come on.
Of course not. But he did go off on that one pitcher that one time. I don't remember the game you're talking about.
He did. He went out there, and that player got so pissed off. And the coach got pissed off, but it was the rule. There's nothing they could say about it. But still, Schloss let him go about an inning, and he came out there and called timeout and went to the umpire and said, take it off. And they the other team just erupted. But, you know, he saves these things for the right time, and he did a great job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's very calculated.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Very, very calculated. And you know what? You got to admit, I mean, he doesn't really cry wolf, so – He can get away with it a little bit more because he's not one of them people. Because if an umpire, all of a sudden he's out in somebody's grill, it's not like you think Billy Martin where he's out there every other time. You know, it's kind of like, oh, man, did I really screw up? You know, it almost make you second guess yourself because, you know, he just doesn't run out there all the time. He doesn't really grind balls and strikes. He doesn't ever dish an umpire that much. You know, I mean, I don't think he ever – would go out of his way to try to embarrass him. But at the same time, all of a sudden, when he does that, it kind of takes you back. Like, I don't know why he's mad, but I agree with him. I don't know what exactly he did, but I'm on his side because he does not do that all the time. So I don't know what he saw. I don't know what he did, but I don't know. I'll make something up, but I guarantee it. I agree with him.
Well, he gets their attention, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Whenever he steps out of the dugout for any reason, everyone's like what happened? What went
wrong?
Somebody's
in trouble.
Right. Everyone's like, okay, who did something wrong? Because he doesn't just come out just for petty things.
Now, we don't know what's coming out of his mouth when he stands on that top step yelling at the umpire.
Well, that's true.
We can't hear it, but I know there's a little bit of chatter going on there, but most of it's for the players. But again, Schloss is pretty reserved about it and saves it at the right times.
Well, I just hope they can keep it up. I hope they can keep it up. I hope we can finish it out strong, take two or three from Texas. I'll take three or three from Texas, really.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go 4-0 from here on out.
Yeah, win it 4-0 and get there and, start, play well, at least, like you said, show up to the tournament and maybe get in. And then you never know what happens. Once you get into the tournament, who knows? They play up for them games, so maybe they get in the tournament, they'll really get fired up and, a different deal.
And the tournament's important because the format of the Big 12 tournament's the same format they face in the regional.
Yep.
So it's good experience for the young team to kind of get into that grind and learn not to get down in your first game, because then you have to go through the loser's bracket to make it all the way to the final game. And so it's good experience for them. But if they can get, the next three of four games, I think they've done enough to be on that bubble to where I think with previous resume in the last 4 years, I think that's enough to get them into a regional. But it would help their situation if they're only focusing on this year's resume, then definitely win the next three or four and at least go second, third, game if you can in the Big 12 championship. So that would be.
Well, I'm sure Schlossnagel's preaching one game at a time. We got to win as many as we can.
I'm sure they are, but we're fans. We don't.
I know.
It sounds like a sports quote. Stay within yourself one game at a time.
I wanted to point one last notable out about our attendance. I didn't realize this, but I read it this weekend that we sold 2,764 season tickets, and TCU ranked 10th nationally in average attendance in this year with an average attendance of 4,785. Now, I did ask the question, is that ticket stubs the day of the game, or is that tickets sold? And it is tickets sold. It's not bottoms in the seats. However, it's like that for every school. We're still ranked 10th, apples to apples, to every other school in the nation. And I think that's incredible. And I will say, with as many baseball games that baseball has, obviously there's a ton. There's no way any family can be out there three games in one weekend, especially on Mother's Day weekend, and especially competing with Texas Rangers. All the other things that are going on in the Metroplex, I think that's pretty impressive that our school of our size can have the crowds that it has.
Where's the rest of the Big 12 on that list? Do you,
you know, I don't know. This was actually in the handout that they gave it. They give out every weekend. I will look that up, and I will put it on Frogs Wire if you can't find it right
what's
now.
What's the capacity of Lupton Stadium? Is it 3,500?
The actual seating, I believe so. But
you know, I got to think if we could squeeze another 1,000 in there somewhere, maybe put bleachers in.
You know what I want to see?
How you can.
You know what I want to see? I want to see them out on the berm put shade, a shade up there, and then people can sit in the shade out there. I think a lot more people.
That would be great.
Well, last year, I only have last year's records up here. TCU was ranked 7th last year, but number 1 in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With nearly 5,000. What was the average?
4,785. So
4,785. If we were to go on last year's numbers, that's still number 1. Texas was number 2 last year at just under 4,500.
Yeah.
So I honestly believe, I mean, and if you take a look at this, Texas Tech was 3rd, but they were under 4,000 in attendance, and they were ranked nationally last year as well.
Yeah.
You'd think, given what Ryan was saying, I mean, with all the entertainment competition that you have in DFW and practically absolutely none of that in Lubbock, you know, for TCU to be top attendance record of the Big 12, I'm going to say it's probably definitely 2 years in a row at this point. That's pretty darn impressive.
It is impressive. It is impressive. And I wish, I know there's, I don't know if there's any active plans to expand the stadium, you know, but I know at one time when Del Conte was there, they're talking about putting a kind of a party deck up that would be level with a left field wall where you could, you know, you could rent it out like they do along the third baseline and first baseline, those little party areas. And I think they're going to try and do that. I don't know if that plan is still viable or not, but, that might have increased to maybe a couple of hundred at most, but it would have been an intriguing idea. I wish they could put more of those outfield patios out there, like they have the covered ones out in the right field area. That would be awesome, but I think they're out of space over there for that, something like that. But anyway, there's it'd be great if we could bump that thing up to about 4,500, and then I think we could average over 5,000 every game.
You know, those party areas where they you can bring in your own beer and everything, they're sold out all season. I mean, you can't get them. So it would be nice if they figured out there's areas they could put in a couple more. You'd be more out in the outfield, but who cares?
Yeah, beer garden.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go. Yeah. I like that. See, that's why you need to be chairman of the beer committee.
I would gladly be chairman of the whiskey committee. Can we?
Okay. Whiskey Garden doesn't sound as good as Beer Garden, but I get that. It works okay. Hey, we picked up a recruit over the week. Strong side defensive end, Myron Warren out of Louisiana, another Louisiana hit. 6'3", 230 pounds, 3-star player. It brings our class ranking up so far, our team ranking nationally to number 16, which is not too bad.
Wow, that's a great. You know?
Yeah. And he had offers from quite a few schools. And you know, because it may not have been one of those that's, let's see, he's a 3-star. Let me take a quick look here. I mean, he had offers from
one of those LSU didn't block him on the way out of Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, Louisiana Tech, which is no big deal, but Arizona State, Arkansas, LSU, Alabama.
Wow.
You know, Tulane, A&M offered him.
Wow.
So, you know, he's got some offers out there, SMU.
Yeah,
Oklahoma
he's got a lot State. Of upside. He's the type of player that Anderson wants. And he's the kind of guy who's gonna be he gets in here, works his tail off like we know these Frogs will. He'll be something special in about a year or two. So.
And he's ranked number 903rd player in the nation, the 60th best strong side defensive end in his position. And in the state of Louisiana, he's the 31st ranked player. Yeah, but we've had great success lately out of Louisiana. And I think we're working on another couple of them out there. So, I mean, you know, once again, Coach Speak could sneak in there and steal some away from the big school down there and the other purple school, but it ruins their color with the gold. But you know, that just breaks my heart. Keep it going, Gary.
I can tell.
I don't know if it was last weekend or weekend before, but the quarterback, he did good in one of the camps, and I think he actually has been invited to that Elite 11. So the last two quarterbacks, so I think he is one of the, you know, that's a pretty high honor to be one of those guys.
And yeah, so, you're talking about Max Duggan out of Iowa.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, he's a four-star. Yeah, he's
I think
national ranks 316, and as a dual quarterback, he's ranked number 8th in the country.
Yeah. He's the one all the Big Ten people are like, why TCU? I don't understand. How does that work?
Well, because we're better than most of the Big Ten schools. That's why.
Because we're the best kept secret. That's it.
Because he's a smart cookie.
And even turned down Ohio State. Tell Mike that, Ryan. So.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything until after that.
Cause a fight. You're going to cause a fight in that household there.
And Wisconsin.
Hey, you know what else was pretty neat? I need to find it on Twitter, but were the athletes that came back to graduate this year that had left school early to go into the minors and then decided to come back and finish their college degree. And that, you know, that's awesome because we all know how important that college degree is. And it was good to see so many come back and finish. So good job, guys. I'll try to find that real quick so I can give you a shout out. Let's see.
Well, while Ryan's looking that up, is there anything that we missed tonight that you guys wanted to cover?
I don't think. In fact, we went a good hour and 10 minutes.
I know, right? Well, we covered everything, constitutional law to.
If you go to killerfrogs.com, you can see renderings of the new TCU hotel.
Which
is set to be built.
I have a question. Is that like a real hotel where we could stay there, or is that just the name they're giving it and it's just where athletes are going to stay?
I think it's a real hotel. I mean,
we really are trying to be like Disney World. That is so
well,
cool.
There are a lot of colleges that have, like my son was at Ole Miss, they had a hotel there for alumni and things. It's always booked up for football games, or conferences. But according to what I'm reading right now, it's a 5-floor structure. It'll contain 150 rooms, 4,000 square feet of ballroom space, rooftop bar. I like that. And an outdoor pool. A restaurant will be adjacent to the structure serving the hotel, and the hotel will possibly run by the Hyatt, which ain't too shabby. So I think it's going to be a great move. That's fantastic to have that. That way I won't have to camp out at Dover's house when I come in for a weekend.
What part of campus is it going to be on?
You know, I think it's going to be over there. It's not technically on campus, and I may have this wrong, but I think if you go down east on Berry Street and take a right on Sandage, where that old Stripling and Cox used to be, or Monning's, I think it's over in that area. Kind of behind the CVS or Walgreens or whatever it is.
Yeah, across from Pascal.
Yeah,
awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That would be good because that area kind of needs a little bit more life kind of breathed it into it, I guess, in Berry Street. Yeah, that's.
But the rendering, kind of sticks with the TCU architectural theme in that buff colored brick and then the
Art Deco.
But it's a little more modern looking than that, and it's got those red tile roofs like TCU's got.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty neat looking. I can't wait for that to happen.
As long as the sheets are purple.
Yep.
I know, totally. Oh my gosh, wouldn't you love to be the designer on that? Oh, fun.
Oh well.
I'm just gonna stay there just to stay there. Anytime, that would be so fun.
Yeah,
be other happy place.
$250 a night just to stay there. No, I'm sure it'll be expensive, but I've got some high.
If it's $150 a night, that's a steal. Have you seen the rates on campus for dorms?
The students are gonna be renting rooms for the semester instead of dorms.
It'd be like staying at a Motel 6, you know, kind of like one of those week long kind of rentals.
That's my speed. Motel 6 or Hampton Inn. So,
I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm just saying, you know, compared to the cost of a dorm room.
Yeah,
it might be worth it.
Might be worth it. It might be. You're right.
All right. Well, with that, I think we have reached the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Of course, you can find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at killer_frogs. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube by going to either facebook.com or youtube.com and hit /killerfrogs. There's no underscore there. Of course, you can go to Frogs Wire to read all about the latest TCU news, or you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics and get the line on the next games from the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we have reached the end of the podcast. It's time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Froze, but I think he's... Nope, there he is. He's still...
Oh, froze, really?
Yeah, you did. No, it's, you're too busy with those Nutter Butters.
I did think... Oh, the Nutter Butters are gone.
Do the Go Frogs again.
That didn't last. Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!